having it to see and listen to remember and accept. I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome. So, last week, Shinshu and I'm going to have to get a pair of reading glasses. Shinshu and I reviewed Zazen instruction with those people who are going to start doing it every week or have been doing it every week at 8:30 on Saturday morning. And I encourage you to go, you know, if you're new or if you're not. If you have questions, if you want to listen to somebody's perspective on it, it's a good thing to revisit Zazen instruction regularly. And always, if you have questions, further questions, you can always talk to one of us or talk to Shinshu or I or whatever. Because the kind of ongoing adventure of Zazen unfolds over a lifetime, and coming back to the basics, actually, you know, we usually think of progression as, you know, we learn the first part and then we kind of get that down and then we go further, we build up or we go further, but actually kind of Zazen is the opposite of that. You keep coming back to the most simple things, and simple, simple, simple. You simplify, and it just becomes a deeper and deeper unfolding. So we should never think we've got it down, okay? So today I thought I'd talk a little bit about Zazen and about a practice that is not usually associated with Soto Zen, which is a way of reviewing your Zazen practice. And it's a way of becoming familiar with what happens when you sit there. It's always good to say, well, what happened? Or to come to Shinshu or I and say, this is what's happening. Not what I think is happening, or what I hope happened, or what I think should happen, but what's actually happening. So when we sit, we are developing a solid foundation, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. What that means is that we notice the ways that we are wobbly, all the ways that we are far from perfect, or what we think is perfect. Our minds bounce around. Last night we had movie night, and we really enjoyed watching this movie about a short film about a practice period in Japan. And we were chatting afterwards, and we were talking about looking at the wall. You know, somebody was joking about, well, are we going to look at the wall and see the movie on the wall? And what movie do we see on the wall when we're sitting facing the wall? And Dodie was saying, we were joking about seeing patterns in the plaster, you know? I think it was Dodie said she was seeing baby ducks. And so when we talk about these things and we have a sense of humor and we actually say, oh, you mean you actually see things on the wall too? It's not just me. So our minds bounce around. We see baby ducks on the wall. Our emotions skip and leap from one thing to another. Or we sink. Or we soar. Or we go flat, we get sleepy. Spiritually, we might feel stupid or lost, or we might feel we're this close to enlightenment. Right. So it can be like a Disney movie or a horror movie or I don't know, an endless loop of the same commercial over and over and over. And when we see our own minds and hearts, our bodies, we have a fundamental choice to make. Do we judge? Or do we grow in our capacity to accept? That's the fundamental choice. The first one leads to much suffering. And it's a byway, it's a detour, judging is. Eventually, we'll see that detour for what it is, at least for a little while. But we can get caught in that feedback loop of judgment and attempted perfection for a long time. The second choice is accepting reality as it is. It's just that. We choose to be here with it all as it is. And in this way, our rootedness, our stability becomes unshakable. We treat ourselves and all dimensions of our reality with respect, and our heart and our being grows larger, more inclusive, kinder, more vigorous, more wise. A Japanese nun, Gyokei-sensei, said, "Once I realized that the point is to be here, there was no reason to rush or be anxious. Ride the flow of nature. If you don't do this, you suffer a great deal. With this, I saw how I didn't have to suffer. It is very difficult. The reasoning is not so hard to understand, but to do it is difficult." She says, "To accept everything is the final and highest form of humanity. You complete your life when you can do this." To accept everything is the final and highest form of humanity. You complete your life when you do this. So she's not talking about resignation. She's talking about transforming acceptance. Acceptance that has depth to it. So this is the spirit of Zazen. You complete your life simply by sitting with dignity and presence in the midst of the life that you have in this moment. This is boundlessness. It's unobstructed. It's knowing oneself. It's continuous practice. Shinshu's been talking about continuous practice. The practice of all beings manifesting themselves, giving themselves, being themselves, creating the world. So, the more we can practice this transforming acceptance and follow Gyokei-sensei's advice, the more we experience ourselves as continuous practice. Of course, what we do as human beings is set up an idea of what that is and how we should experience it, right? You know, we set up a standard, and then we fail. We might succeed in our idea for a little while, right? We set up an idea, and then we'll succeed for a little while, but inevitably, we fail. We always fail. And that is a very good thing. It's very, very good to fail. Because failure's end is unobstructed. failures then drops calculated effort. Calculated effort, not effort, but calculated effort to a predetermined goal. Our ideals, our arrogance, our self-disparagement, our attempts to be something different melt in that moment. And you simply allow what is to be fully present. As it is, nothing more. Which includes all of life. It includes the entire universe. It is this dynamic moment that's endless. To sit, to live in this way can be difficult. It's challenging. But life is challenging, isn't it? So why not take up a path that is venerable and creates a sense of challenge that's life-giving? I mean, what else have you got to do? While you're sitting on a cushion or you're in line at the grocery store. So to take this challenge up with a good spirit, with humor, with flexibility, with a kind of caring determination, in good company, with good friends, that's a way of life that is challenging, but nourishing. So we can count on the fact that life knocks us for a loop. We grieve, we struggle, we have times of great joy. That's the way it is. There isn't another kind of life. So the effort to make it into something else is exhausting, draining, and fruitless. When we get that, we sit down for a while, as Katagiri Roshi said. You know, you just sit down for a while. We take time in our lives with vitality and presence to expand our perspective, to nourish stability, to become more and more rooted in this life with a good heart. This is the patient day-to-day practice of the Bodhisattva. So getting to know ourselves and our particular proclivities can help in this process. If something is challenging, it's useful to know how to meet the challenge. Yeah. I was thinking of wall climbing, right? Some of you know about. And it's helpful to know where do you put your hands and your feet to get to the top of the wall. Have you got an injured shoulder? What do you do? So we do that with our body. Do you sit in a chair or do you sit on the ground? Do you need something to support your right knee? What do you do with the body that you've got? In the same way, we become familiar with our habits of mind and heart. When you become familiar with them, it's easier to let go. It's easier to spot them. It's easier to not convince yourself that this particular pattern really is worth hijacking your meditation time. Oh, that's really important. I've got to attend to that. So, are you someone that tends to rush forward and plan your day? Is that your habit? Perhaps you ruminate on the past. Oh, God, I shouldn't have said that. You know? Do your thoughts and feelings have a threat of anger, self-recrimination, self-loathing? Are you busy with your accomplishments, excited about the next great thing you're going to do? Do you get sleepy, avoidant? Each of these can hold great sway over our minds and hearts. And as Gyokei Sensei says, ride the flow of nature. If you don't do this, you suffer a great deal. It's difficult. Reasoning is easy, but the practice is difficult. It's sweet to ride the flow of nature, even in the midst of difficulty, isn't it? So one way to get to know ourselves, who we are in our meditation practice and off, is a structured reflection. But I want to emphasize two things before I discuss this particular kind of structured reflection. One is you don't do it during zazen, right? This is something you do after. And also, this is absolutely not a way of ranking or grading or assessing in a kind of corrosive way your zazen practice. It's a way of becoming familiar, the taste, the quality of what we do. So according to this method, you can reflect on the degrees to which these qualities are present. Some of these are traditional qualities, some I added. What is the quality of calmness of this stretch of meditation practice? What of alertness? What about aversion? Not that. Dullness. How strong was the pull or preoccupation of the story? What was the, not just that you were pulled, but how strong was the pull? How easy or difficult was it to allow the story or preoccupation not to stay for tea? Suzuki Roshi said, don't invite your thoughts to tea. Well, did you just have a banquet or a tea? Or did you say, oh, hello, here's a back door? What was the quality of your motivation to stay present? What did the motivation feel like? Was there desperation in it? Acquiring mind in it? Love in it? What was the quality of the motivation? To what extent was there a sense of peace or enjoyment? Did you have some positive feeling about this? Did you enjoy your life? How did you relate to the physical discomfort or emotional discomfort? What was your experience of stability, inclusivity, or not? And then finally, how did you arise from your sitting and greet your everyday life? What's the quality of that transition? You could do the same thing with what was the quality of your movement in here, for example. You know, were you looking for a parking place? Zazen starts a long time before you sit down. So you can take some time to reflect on these and get familiar with your own mind. You can do it informally, or you can write it out, which ones dominate on a given day. Include this in your personal reflection time. In terms of Dogen's teachings, we can think of our zazen as if we were cooking a nourishing meal for all beings, right? We're like a pot. Dogen says, when you wash the rice and prepare the vegetables, you must do it with your own hands. In other words, you get your hand dirty in zazen. You dig in your own life. Somebody else can't do it for you. And with your own eyes, and make sincere effort. Do not be idle or give away this opportunity, even if it is only a drop in the ocean of merit. So when you wash this rice and prepare the vegetables, do it with your own hands. Make a sincere effort. Don't be idle. Don't give away this opportunity. And one of the ways you can give away this opportunity is to disparage your effort. He says, in the art of cooking, the essential consideration is to have a deeply sincere and respectful mind regardless of the fineness or coarseness of the ingredients. So when you sit down in your zazen practice, you can think of everything that arises in your mind as an ingredient that's in this pot of this particular moment. And he says, have a deeply sincere and respectful mind regardless of the fineness or coarseness of the ingredients. A refined cream soup, a peaceful, lovely, beautiful, delicious mind, is not necessarily better than a broth of wild grasses. We can think of wild grasses as, you know, the galloping horses of our mind, leaping from thing to thing. You know? Know that even wild grasses can nourish the sacred body and bring forth the buds of the way. Do not regard them as low or take this lightly. I'm going to read that to you again. In the art of cooking, in the art of zazen, the essential consideration is to have deeply sincere and respectful mind regardless of the fineness or coarseness of the ingredients. Fineness or coarseness or anything that arises in your zazen. A refined cream soup, refined, delicious, lovely mind is not necessarily better than a broth of wild grasses, than a soup that's just bubbling and gurgling and has all kinds of weird things in it. Know that even wild grasses, even a wild mind, can nourish the sacred body and bring forth the buds of the way. Do not regard them. Do not regard anything as low or take it lightly. He goes on to say, in performing your duties, you should maintain joyful mind, kind mind, and great mind. So having established that this pot, this particular moment of zazen, this particular, you know, little black cushion or your chair at home or whatever is this soup that you're cooking or that is being cooked. And that every single thing that arises is a tasty ingredient to cook for all beings. The fundamentals that you want to bring to that is this sincere effort and respect. And he highly recommends these three dimensions of mind. Joyful mind, kind mind, great mind. Joyful mind, kinshin, is the mind that rejoices in the opportunity to cook the three treasures. So, this joyful mind is, oh, goody. I get to sit down with this mind and heart and body, this one. That's a different thing than, oh, man, I'm lousy at this, or I haven't done this for 2 weeks, and I told Jaku I was going to sit every day. Whatever. The mind that rejoices in the opportunity to cook for the three treasures. The opportunity to sit and be attentive to life is the way I would say that. Kind mind or parental mind, Roshan, is a loving concern without attachment to a particular outcome. You know, this is regarding your own mind and life as a loving parent. You don't have a particular outcome, but the love is always there. Not carrying predetermined outcomes to sitting. Allowing Zazen to sit Zazen. The last magnanimous mind is a mind like a mountain or a great ocean, he says. Inclusive of everything, unswayed by partiality, not indulging in exclusivity. So this is open, solid, stable, free from concern for this and that. And can you see how you can take each of these and then create suffering for yourself by saying, well, I wasn't very stable that time. Or joyful, I'm not feeling particularly joyful. Kind, are you kidding? I'm pissed. You know? You can take these things and turn them. But the thing that's tricky and wonderful about Zazen is that there is no end. That's included, that's included, that's included, that's included, that's included, that's included, that's included. Even the ways that you tell yourself that you don't measure up is included. There's no end to the capacity to turn and make that choice, that fundamental choice. So we can take some time, I recommend taking some time to reflect on your Zazen practice, to see what it is you actually do, to maybe use some of these guidelines to reflect on what your particular habits of mind are, so that when they arise, not if they arise, but when they arise, you can say, oh yeah. Once, when I was at Tassajara and I was about to give a Dharma talk, I was feeling particularly anxious. I wasn't used to giving Dharma talks. And Blanche Hartman was the teacher in residence at that point. And I went over to the abbot's cabin and I knocked on the abbot's cabin and said, Blanche, I'm feeling scared about giving this Dharma talk. And she said, oh, that old saw. You know? And right away it was like, oh yeah, right. You don't have to believe all that stuff. That old saw. So when you get to know your mind, there's a way in which, you know, all that comes out. Oh, that old saw. Come back. Come back to that stability. That's a way of including, right? So the more familiar we are with our minds and hearts, the more we can rest in that which is far deeper and vaster than these particular stories that we concoct. So we can spot things, not to be rid of them, but to not be hijacked by them. So this is where the wild grasses and all we pour into this pot, everything that bubbles up in this pot gets cooked in our Zazen practice. And it's a benefit. Right? It nourishes us.